All right, hello everybody. This is Jeff Craig here with Janice McCall and our special guest, Henry O. from Henry the Archer. Henry, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Fantastic. We had a nice little adventure when you first got here to the station today.
We did. Nothing out of the normal there.
Yeah. Profiling is a problem on this campus.
It would seem so.
You're here today because you've got a brand new album that's coming out.
Yes, sir.
We're really excited about that. The Garden.
Yes, sir.
And it just recently released last week.
Well, the first single released last Friday.
Okay.
The next, which was Violent. The next single releases tomorrow, and then the full album will be out May 3rd.
Okay.
The following Friday.
And this is a six-track?
Six-track album, that's correct.
Six tracks. So, Janice and I have heard the first two singles off of the album.
Yes.
And I know for me, I've got Zero as a number on the wall in my office. I love that album. We were talking a little earlier, Sunday Samurai.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite songs. And you were saying a little bit about how, like, people have asked you, when you're going to start playing that one live again.
Usually I'll run into people and they'll be like, oh, I really like that Sunday Samurai song. When you guys going to play it at the show? And I'm like, well, maybe. We haven't played that song in, man, like five or six years, and it's just never made it back onto the set list. There's no good excuse for that, and we need to figure out how to get it back on the set list.
Well, obviously it's wanted, right?
It's wanted. Yeah,
so
it's
give the people
what
they want.
That's always a good thing,
yes. It's true, yeah, it's true.
So The Garden, it's been a while. It was 2017 when Zero as a Number came out. You've released a couple of singles since then.
Yes, sir.
The Bad and Venus, 2019, 2020.
That's right.
And then the world shut down, right?
Right.
So how did that affect you as an artist and an artist in general, that time period of having to no longer play live shows, but like not only that, like your mental state in writing music?
So that's a good question. I went into a super, super depression during that time, because I really enjoy playing concerts. I mean, recording in the studio is a different animal than playing the live show, and like all the energies at the live show, the vibe between the people and the audience. And when you're doing that every weekend in a different city or whatnot, and then all of a sudden that's gone, that stream of energy is gone, it just takes energy out of you. And I went into a bit of a hole there, and I was real glum about it for some time. I actually wrote a song about it that's on the new record. It's called People Make a Place, and it's about the whole music scene shutting down and how it affected me personally. It's track, I think, 4 on the new record, and it's just piano and me. That's it.
Nice.
Nothing else. Yeah, it's a little different. It's totally different than the usual stuff. And then also not being able to get together with the band and stuff because I had moved out of state for a short period because, as you know, everything was shutting down. And so I was looking for work, and I found some work out of state, and I took that, so I wasn't even really that intimate with my band during that time, which I don't know if you've ever been in a band, but it's like family. It's your friends. It's basically your partner,
right,
to some extent. And, band practice, isn't just about playing music.
That's right.
You sit there and you talk about your day, you talk about your week, you talk about sci-fi, you talk about all the things that matter in life. And I lost that outlet, because in band, you don't really call your band members, hey, what you doing? It's you do that in person,
right? You get together,
and that was one of the hardest things, was losing that. And it's just great to be back. It's great that COVID is no longer COVID,
right?
Yeah,
the world's kind of opened back up, and along those lines, I know Janice and I on our front have noticed a bigger influx of music coming in, right? So a lot of people did, they went into kind of writing mode for a couple of years, and it's like, I've written all these tracks. I haven't had time to sit down and record them and then send them off and get them mastered and all those things. So for this album, I mean, it was 2017, 2018. You wrote a couple songs after that. But like, how long of the process was this album?
So it was interesting because so some of the songs were already written right before COVID, and we had planned on recording them, I think like 2 or 3 of them. And then COVID hit. And then so we had them in the pocket. And then while I was away, I wrote a few more songs. And then when we decided, okay, COVID's not really ending anytime soon, let's hit the studio. It was quite the adventure because anytime we'd have studio time scheduled, I'd have to fly into town to execute the studio recordings.
Wow.
And so we did that. And We recorded over at Valve Studios in Dallas, Texas, and with Casey DiIorio. He co-produced the album with me. Great dude. And he works with a lot of bands like Polyphonic Spree and stuff like that. You know, that's what he's known for. And
so you guys didn't have to record anything separately. You waited till you could be together.
So that's a good point. So we basically, when I came down here, we hit the studio and we recorded live in the studio. But we only, while we were recording live, we only tracked the drums and the bass tracks while we were recording. So I had to bed in the guitar later on. And so I recorded the majority of the guitar out of state. And sent the files down. And then once the guitar was bedded in the song and it was partially mixed, then I flew down and I recorded all the vocal tracks. But it took, you know, because studio time's not cheap.
Indeed.
And then, you know, as a band, you make most of your income on live performance, which offsets the cost for studio time. So without live performance, offsetting that cost and due to budget, and Casey's studio is fire, so, like, he's always busy in there. And getting in there was a bit of a challenge from time to time. It took about 2 years from beginning to end to just record it, mix it, and get it mastered.
Wow.
It was mastered up in West Side Music in New York City. So
I read that. That is very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with how everything came out.
It sounds fantastic, too, so you should be proud.
Thank you. Yeah.
And so we've talked about, you know, the last album, COVID changes, mental health for all of us was a little different. Is some of that in this album? Because this album, every track is so vastly different. I mean, it's almost like six different albums in this one. So was
really
that a big part of that?
You know, I've never really specifically in my life of writing music, I've never said, okay, I'm this genre. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna stick to this, and how am I gonna mold this? I really just write based on the feeling that I have while I'm writing, because a song will come while I'm experiencing a feeling, or like a line will come while I'm driving in my head, and I'll pull over and I'll kind of expand on that. Then I'll get home, and who knows what I'm gonna pick up? If it's a ukulele, a guitar, a piano, I don't know, or I'll feel around for the right thing. So I don't really write based on a genre. I write based on a feeling. Mm. And whatever instrumentation suits that feeling the best, that's what it's going to come out to be. And so The Garden was named The Garden because every song is different. Like, a garden is filled with different kinds of flowers and whatnot.
Diverse, which gives a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah. It's kind of like our concerts. If you've ever been to a concert, there's people of all different kinds at our concerts that like all different genres of music, because there's a little something for everybody, you know?
So along those lines, like, what were some of your influences musically and artistically?
Now or growing up?
All of the above, right? Because it changes.
Yeah.
You know, and depending on the mood.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Right.
I'll listen to Depeche Mode one day and Machine Head the next.
Sure. Like. Sure. Right now, I'm into Books on Tape. And
nice.
And also.
Wait, what is a book?
Right?
Don't say that. We work at a university.
And I'm super into these last maybe 2 months, 3 months. I've really been into Native American flute music.
Okay.
Oh. That's been my vibe.
That's been very cool.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's really peaceful and spiritual, and I dig that sort of thing. But before that, you know, I wasn't listening to music for a really long time because I've been so just like focused on my own music, and I don't want to hear something that will influence what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, so I, you know, I like Bach. So I listen to some Bach and jazz too.
Bach rock.
Yeah. I like jazz music, and that's kind of where Kevin and I, Venn diagram, is he's really a jazz influenced rock drummer, and I like jazz, and we sort of cross that path together, and it's really enjoyable. But growing up, I mean, I listened to things like the Beach Boys and, you know, 50s doo-wop from Motown.
Nice.
All that sort of stuff is really where my energy is, you know. Yeah, but
and then, all that still influences you to this day?
I would say in my spirit it does, you know. But in high school I went through a big punk rock phase, which is where I started a band, and I did that whole thing, which is why I've got that punk vibe on kind of everything that is out there that we do, you know. But there's all those other genres too that are just kind of mingled in there. Yeah.
Wonderful.
What is your favorite song to perform live?
Oh, man. Because
you say it's a mood thing when you're writing it. So yeah. Does it the same when you're coming up with that set list for a show?
So my favorite, you know, the thing is that they all have a different feeling they pull out at a live show, you know? But if there was four songs I had to pick that I really love playing live, it would be War.
Okay.
And I enjoy War because just the falsetto vocal is so, it's so fulfilling to do that part live, yeah. Especially with the bleeding out reverb and all that. And then Sheep Song, which is on the new album, that's just straight up fun. I mean, it's you just filled with joy and fun playing that song. Violent, which is the new single you heard.
Love it.
And Garden, those are the other two that are just so vibey and right. So filled with energy, different kinds of energy. I really connect to them, especially right now in my life. And just performing them live is just second to none, yeah.
So let's talk about the vocals, right? Listening to you talk.
Yeah.
Talking to you outside,
yeah.
And you listen to different tracks by you,
yeah.
Very different vocal range. Was that by design, or was that, again, just like you got in there and you started playing and you just went to a new range with things?
So, you know, like I was saying, so back in high school when I, you know, was a teenager and I did the whole punk rock thing and went through that phase and then did the hardcore thing and was screaming, I was in this place as a kid where I was just trying to acclimate to other people's styles of singing, like mm-hmm. not changing my voice to sound like them, but say, okay, I'm going to corner myself into this is what a punk rock vocal is, and then this is what this is, and then I just wasn't happy.
Okay.
So I basically left music for a little bit, and I was in creative writing class in college. And I started writing a book, autobiography, Henry the Archer. It's where the name comes from.
Okay, cool.
You know, and it was a fictional autobiography set in medieval times and this whole, all this stuff. And, you know, after I graduated, I decided to go back into music and title my artist name Henry the Archer. And, you know, I totally forgot where I was going with that. What was the question?
The vocal range. How did you like?
You went
punk rock. So like you can hear that in New Suit, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
That's a punky type of song.
So basically, the point of what I was saying was is that autobiography is basically about owning yourself and who you are. You know, it was about a son of a mason that wanted to be an archer, and that's what he knew in his soul that he was and wanted to be. And so when I went back to music, I decided, you know, I was just going to be true to myself. And sing how I want to sing and
right.
not hold myself to a genre or a type of singing because, you know, I feel very blessed that I have the ability to sing in a variety of ways.
Yes, you do.
Why would I not do that?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so just depending on the song, I sing how I want to sing. You know, I don't bottle myself up in
right.
the one style of singing.
Definitely not in a box.
No, not in a box.
At all.
Yeah, and that's opened some doors for me, so...
Which
I'm
is
really grateful for that
what
choice.
We love to hear here.
Yeah.
So do you find yourself when you play live, do you sing the songs differently depending on mood? I mean, do you still try to make them sound like they were the album recordings, or is it just, you know what, today I'm going to try it a little different?
Honestly, I don't even think about it. When we're playing live, I just execute what I'm feeling in that time,
okay.
you know? I might indulge a little bit on certain accents of certain things, or I might scream things a little harder, or I might not scream. It just depends how the energy is, you know? When you're playing a show, it's a joint relationship between you and the audience, and, you know, as the show progresses, you kind of pick up on that energy, and your body and your mind operate accordingly to that situation.
Right.
You kind of touched on it, and so I'll dive in and ask the question anyway, but when you're not writing music or performing shows, what does Henry O. like to do?
What do I like to do?
Yeah. I mean, you're obviously a writer.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Are you a painter? Like...
No,
do you go play baseball and go to the batting cages when you have free time?
We know you like to go to Target.
Let me tell you something about you know. There is no way I can hit a ball at a batting cage. I've tried on a few occasions, and it's just, no, I'll end up hurting myself somehow. No, you know, I really like anime.
Okay.
I do. I'm in the like Demon Slayer.
Oh, that's so good. I've got my 12-year-old daughter finished Mugen Train without me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then we did Entertainment District, and she finished that one before me. So yeah. I'm like, hey, this was supposed to be our thing. You know? Yeah.
If you like Demon Slayer, you like Jujutsu Kaisen as well. Yeah, it's a great show. And I'm also a Trekkie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big Trekkie down in my blood. but, you know, I take walks with the dog. You know, I like being outside. Other than that, I'm always looking for something new to do, you know? Yeah, I do like sculpting and making things out of recycled materials and stuff, but if I'm being honest, it's been a couple years since I really focused on that. I've kind of been so focused on this album and some other things I've got going on.
Yeah,
that I kind of haven't really been focused on that too much. But yeah, you know, putting love out there.
This one, you seem like a pretty deep guy, so this one might take you a while to answer.
Oh,
but here we go.
Oh, boy. All right, I better sip water for that.
Yeah. If you could play a show with any two bands or artists.
My gosh.
Any time period. Who are they?
Oh, my.
And why?
That's a broad one there, dude.
Okay. My goodness. How do you even answer that?
That's why it's a great question.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Because I could ask you this same question every day for the next 365 days and get a different answer.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah, right now, I mean, can I play with myself?
Bingo bongo, there it is.
There it is, you know. I honestly don't even know how to approach that.
As long as you can take your drummer with you, right?
As long as I can take Kevin with me, you know, a lot of people, because I write the music and I have the voice and whatnot, but I tell everybody all the time, Henry the Archer, the band, is not Henry the Archer without Kevin. There's no way around that. He is, to me, 50%.
True.
You know?
I mean, I know you started off with a different bassist.
Yeah. I've had a few bassists. I think I'm on my fourth bassist
now. Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah. I started out with one bassist, Daryl Sellers, many years ago. And then we went to Matt Hembry.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elliot, who we have now. But then he was filling in for a bit. And then we jumped over to Charles Marchbanks. And we played with Charles Marchbanks for about 7 years. And then he just parted ways recently. And Elliot's back in the band.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 So as far as who I would play with,
you're like,
I'm trying to avoid this question. You know.
All right, let's go with someone that from your youth, right? So the punk days.
Yeah.
So a punk band.
Yeah.
Henry the Archer.
Yeah.
And then who else?
Okay, if I was to pick a punk band, that would be pretty easy. I know this sounds silly, but when I was a teenager, I really liked Christian punk rock bands.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, they were really fun. They were really fun, and there's a band called Slick Shoes that I just fell in love with as a kid. I totally dig them. And I even spun them like a couple weeks ago on a long drive, and I was like, oh, it has been years since I heard the Burnout album.
I was going to ask you that. Do you still
And I put it
do
on,
still listen to him?
And it brought me right back. It was just like this just explosive energy up in your face, you know. And I liked the Christian punk rock bands because, you know, my music, I don't curse in anything.
Right.
Outside of music, I have a sailor mouth. but I believe, you know, music's an art and there's plenty of vocabulary other than using the foul language.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to, again, box yourself in by using foul language. So.
Right.
I do the best I can to circumvent foul language and everything. And that's one thing I appreciated about that band is that, like, I could listen to it and there's no foul language. And that takes a little bit of effort because, you know, foul language is, you know, in the human race, we use it to reflect emotions and feelings. So it's easy to put those words into songs. What's not easy is circumventing the usage of those words for something more interesting. And so I value that. And so for the closer, I don't know, man. I really don't know. I would probably do some sort of maybe the Coasters, some Motown.
Oh,
I don't know. We'll close it out. Or maybe we'll close the night with the Beach Boys. Have the Beach Boys come on out. You know, just good feelings, good vibes. Because if I'm playing the center slot, you know, I'm definitely going to want to enjoy that band that's closing.
Right.
And I'm not going to want anything too heavy either. Because I just got off stage.
Vibe.
Yeah, I got the monitors blasting in my ears, the lights in my face. I'm going to want to vibe out, You know, I'm going to want to vibe out.
You're hot and sweaty. You want to relax and just
I think a little Motown or, you know, the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys
really,
is a good pick.
Yeah, I think that lineup actually works. You get them fired up early, right? Everybody's dancing around, having a good time.
Right.
And then with your set, you can tailor it to kind of ebbs and flows of that and lead them into the Beach Boys.
That's it.
By playing the garden
there
right before,
that's
right?
It. That's it, man.
You bust out
there's
the uke
the
and you're playing
right
a little bit and you're like, all right, I'm out of here, guys. But coming up next, you know, we got Brian Wilson's coming out here.
100%. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, all right, here we go.
That's right.
Live music.
Yeah.
Ready to be back out touring. You've got some shows coming up in throughout Texas that I've seen for sure.
Yeah, we do. We're hitting Austin on June 1st. We've got... where we plan May 11th is our album release party. That's going to be in Arlington at Division Brewing. Great people. They brewed a beer specifically for Henry the Archer's release.
Fantastic.
And the owner just sent me the beer can label because they're doing some distributing now. So right. The album cover is now officially on a beer can.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool.
It's really pretty cool. So there's that. And then we're playing the Paper Tiger in San Antonio. I think that's in August, maybe August 10th, something like that. Then we're going to be playing in Fort Worth at Tulips. That's, I believe, August 3rd. But don't hold me to that. You got to go to henrythearcher.com for all those dates.
There you
and
go.
Tickets
plug
availability.
That away.
And then I've got a couple so far shows I've also booked, which are, you know, unplugged shows, which mm-hmm. are always fun and more intimate shows.
Yeah.
So we've got one of those in Dallas, another one of those in Austin. And then there's like two or three other shows that are just not coming to my mind right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm booking them up. Yeah,
nice.
I'm booking them out through summer.
That's good. That's good. Stay busy. Keep working. Get feed off the crowds again, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's your favorite city to perform in besides Fort Worth?
Besides
Fort Worth, which
we know.
We know
we're number one already.
I know.
At least in your heart.
Well, you know, there's a reason that I chose Division Brewing in Arlington. It's because we have such a draw there, and there's so much love in Arlington for Henry the Archer that it was without question that that was going to be where our release party was. So I'd have to say that that's probably, you know, second to Fort Worth. My favorite city to play just because so many people come out to those shows. I mean, it's hard to walk around, you know, and you just feel all that love and you can't replace the love, you know.
Excellent. Well, we are excited that you are going to give us some of this love because you brought your uke with you.
I did. Don't mind my voice because, as you can tell, I have serious allergies today, like serious allergies. But yeah, I brought the uke if you want
to
hear it. I'll play the garden for you. Yeah. That's what's going on here. Check, check, check. I think that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. I feel it in my broke bones. There was a time when I was falling down. You caught me love. Now I'm falling and I've hit the ground. And I'm feeling so lonely. And if I fall asleep, I'm not waking up. Cause deep within my dreams, we're still in love.
If I fall asleep, I'm the home we know we've left behind. We build a place in the fire and the ice. I can't get it out of my head what it might have been. I can't get it out of my head. Whoa. And if I fall asleep, I'm not waking up. Cause deep within my dreams, we're still in love. And I won't make believe the times we had weren't tough. This brought me to my knees and we've given up.
That was fun.